Thanks for listening to another message from Life Christian Church. We hope it challenges and encourages you and helps you to grow in your faith. Don't forget, download our app to stay up to date with what's going on at Life, share your prayer requests or pray for others, read the Bible online and much, much more. Simply search for Life Christian Church in your app store. And I am kicking off a new series today, and it's called The Jigsaw Puzzle. I've called it The Jigsaw Puzzle because I want to use this as an analogy or an illustration or a picture of life, not just ordinary everyday life, but a picture of spiritual life as well. And it's interesting. Let's bring up that first slide. Thank you, Bev. For some people, using the illustration of a jigsaw puzzle, this is what we think life is. And it's just this mess of pieces. And somehow we got to try and fit all those pieces together in a way that makes sense. I don't know if you can relate to that, but some people just think life is just this random set of pieces, and they're all kind of just tossed together. It's all a little bit random. It's all a little bit meaningless. If you believe that life is random chance, if you believe that life is just kind of this messy coincidence, and if you can somehow get some of the pieces together, you can make sense of it. If you this morning feel a little bit lost or a little bit out of place, here's what God would say to you. And it was actually reinforced through that last song that we sang. But from Psalm 139, verse 1, the psalmist David writes this: "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me." Just pause and think about that. God knows me. "You know when I sit, you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." How cool is that? That the God, the creator of this universe, is actually familiar with you. He is familiar with all your ways. "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you." And I love these next few verses. "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." I want to encourage you this morning that God knows you. He knows you. He understands you. He accepts you. He loves you. And there is a question that I want to unpack through this series. That is a question that we've all asked from time to time. I've spoken about it from the platform from time to time. And the question is this: does God have a plan for my life? And if he does, how do I know what it is? Because a lot of people, going back to that image, thanks Bev, a lot of people seem to feel that that is what life is like. That it's like God throws this box of puzzle pieces at you. He kind of goes, well, there's your life. Now, good luck trying to fit all the pieces together. And sometimes that's how some people feel. that life is random, that at times life is even unfair, that God gave you the pieces, but you're actually on your own as far as trying to make the pieces fit. And friends, the truth is, I think there is something that God has wired into our DNA that says or causes us to say, I'm not on my own. In fact, I don't have to try and work this thing out myself. I say that that's part of our DNA because the world around us reflects that. Jeremiah 10 and 23 says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for man to direct his steps. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, it's actually not up to us. It's not up to us to direct our own steps. That we, in and of ourselves, are not sufficient enough to give life its fullest meaning. We are not sufficient in and of ourselves to discover purpose on our own. And as I said, it's reflected in the world around us. Most people, whether they phrase it in this way or not, would say, you know what? I do need guidance. I do need direction. I am reaching out for direction beyond myself. And the reason I say it's reflected in the world around us, because today, every newspaper that's published the world over has a horoscope. And people are looking for clues. How do I make life make sense? Where do I get direction from? Where do I get meaning from? And we need to know and we want to know that our lives have greater significance than just somehow trying to put the random pieces of a puzzle together in a way that makes sense. That life consists of more than just second-guessing the way we should go about life. That life consists of more of, can I have that puzzle picture up again, Bev? Go back to the last one. That's all right. We'll wait. That's a nice puzzle as well. We'll get to that in a second. No, that's all right. So we seem to think, if I can just somehow get a few of the pieces together in a way that appears meaningful and I create something beautiful and just get through life trying to do that, then at the end of my life I'll have a nice funeral and my friends will gather and say really nice things about me and then it's game over. That's not a very exciting life. And yet it is what way too many people settle for. The reality is the life that we have on this earth is so incredibly short. The older you get, the more you realize that is true, that life is a blink. James echoes that, James 4 and 14. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So if life is a blink, here's the question. What am I going to do with the short span of life that I have on this earth? Will my life have meaning and purpose and direction and a sense of connectedness? Or will I live it from the popular perspective that it's all just random chance? It's all accidental. Where do I find my true worth from? How do I find my meaning and purpose? And they're really common questions, and that's why I started out with Psalm 139, because I think in Psalm 139 we discover the secret of a life of meaning and purpose, and that is recognizing I'm not here by accident, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made in the perfect design of a creator God. Again, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Do you know in the first 17 verses of this particular psalm, Psalm 139, there are 81 personal pronouns. I, my, me, that's 81 times it's speaking of us in relationship to God. You know me, you love me, you care for me, you listen to me, you guide me, you direct me, and before I was born, you knew me. If ever you struggle with self-esteem, you need to read Psalm 139 and recognize the God of this universe created you with intent and purpose. Can I hear an amen this morning? God is interested in you. God knows you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Before my body was even formed, God knew me. In other words, none of us were a surprise. Now, some people think they were accidents. Some people have been told they were accidents. Worse still. Friends, you might feel like a mistake, but the reality is there is not one person on the face of the earth who is. Absolutely. The day you were born, God didn't look down from heaven and go, whoa, where did that one come from? So I didn't see that one coming. We've already got enough people to deal with. We don't need one more. No, the day you were born, the day I was born, God looked from heaven and he said, here he comes, here she comes, right on time, right on schedule. Where's the book? I've got to write this one down. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them even came to be. Now, we'll look at this in a few weeks' time in the context of this series. That doesn't mean that God has predetermined every single thing about your life in this pattern of behavior and conformity that you cannot break out of. God has given us a free will. God grants us choice. But what it does mean is that when you were born, You were created and known by God. You were known before you were born, and your life, every single life, has great significance. Your life has purpose, and your life is one that God will lead and guide and direct. And friends, it is that. It is that knowledge, embracing that truth, that gives life its significance. So here's the second picture that I want to give you this morning. Thanks, Bev. We already had a glimpse of it. No, that's okay. When we think about the will of God, sometimes we think of it in terms of a completed masterpiece. And I've got to say, sometimes the church has been a little bit guilty of this. And we even say, you are God's masterpiece. Or we say often, God has got a wonderful plan for your life. And so the expectation when it comes to understanding God's plan for my life, the expectation is this, that it's going to be a completed masterpiece that people can just look back and go, that is a beautiful picture of completeness. And all the puzzle pieces make sense, and you know, we just see this with great clarity, how all the pieces are interconnected, and this is great, this is my life, this is the will of God for me. Well, can I say that that's a false picture, if that's the picture you have of the will of God? Maybe you won't like this morning, but I don't think it's true that God has a wonderful plan for your life. And we'll see you next week. Have a great week. You see, the big question that many of us want to know is this: how do I know the will of God for my life? And it's a good question. It's an important question. But I want to actually suggest to you this morning that it's not the best question to ask. And we've got to be really careful about the questions we ask of ourselves and of God. We've got to be very careful about the expectations that we create in our heart and in our mind. Somebody once said, if you ask the wrong question, you'll actually come up with the wrong answer. And if the first question is, what is the will of God for my life? Then the answer that we're going to be looking for is like that. That it'll be this complete, perfect picture. And until I get the complete, perfect picture, I'm not going to step out in faith and actually attempt anything. Because the complete perfect picture actually removes the need for faith, doesn't it? But what we search for when we say, God, what is your plan for my life? What is the will of God for me? We're actually kind of after this spiritual GPS. We've all got GPSs in our car, on our phone. And you type in the address, what's the will of God for my life? And it'll direct us to the destination. And it'll tell us how far away from the destination we are. So God says, yes, okay, you've typed in what's the will of God to my life into your spiritual GPS. So go to university, study this particular subject, become an expert in that particular field, and see that girl over there, date her because she's going to become your wife, then move to this suburb, and that's the house there I want you to live, and you'll have this number of children, and there is your life. And we think, fantastic, I've reached my destination. The guidance will end right now. And that's the kind of direction, and that's the kind of answer we're looking to when we ask the question, what is the will of God for my life? Yes, it's a valid question, but it's not the best question. The question we should be asking is this: what is the will of God? Full stop. What is the will of God? Not what is the will of God for me. What, first of all, first question, what is the will of God for God? What is the big picture of what God is doing in the world of which I, as an individual, can be a part? Because we will only ever discover the personal will of God for me, and it will only make sense when I begin to understand the general will of God in our world of which I can be a part. Does that make sense? Listen carefully. My purpose will only be valid when it's an expression of God's purpose in our worlds. My agenda to be valid must be an expression of God's agenda. My goals to be valid must be an expression of God's goals. So the first question we should be asking is, what is it that God is doing? What is it that God is up to in the world that predates my birth and will be here long after I'm gone? What's the big picture? Because, friends, the will of God for your life doesn't look like this. It's not the completed masterpiece. The will of God for you and for me looks like this. And friends, get a hold of this, because this is crucial to this whole series. God didn't create you so that you will have something to do. God created you because God is doing something, and you and I are born in such a time and place as this to engage in that which God is doing. Make sense? And the key to discovering your purpose is understanding that God has plans for your life and God has plans for my life that are actually a part of a much bigger picture. But you take an individual puzzle piece in and of itself, and you might go, well, how is that significant? What's the point of this? But from God's perspective, it is a key role in the big picture of what God is doing. And that's why saying God has a wonderful plan for your life is not always entirely true. It's well-meaning, but it's not always true. What is true is that God has a wonderful plan. Now, your role in that, my role in that individually might not necessarily seem terribly significant. But what it does is plug into God's bigger plan and furthers God's bigger agenda. And here's the point. My sense of significance and your sense of significance does not necessarily come from focusing on what God has called you to do. Your sense of significance and your sense of purpose comes as you begin to see that what you're doing is part of a much bigger picture. And I would suggest this morning that God sees you like this. And God's will looks like the next slide. This is God's big picture of which you and I are called to be a part. Friends, no matter what you do for God, no matter how you serve, no matter what vision God places in your heart and life, it will only find its meaning and its significance and its purpose as that piece plugs into the bigger picture of what God is doing. Does that make sense this morning? It's not about what you do. It's not about what I do. It's actually about what God does. Kerry and I, now 2019, we have now officially crossed into our fourth decade of ministry. And that blows my mind. Yeah, praise God. And we have learned time and time and time and time again that what we do and what we have done in three decades of ministry is not the thing, it is a part of a much bigger thing. And interestingly, certainly not coincidentally, as I was preparing for this message this week, I had another incredibly timely reminder of that through a message that I received. Most of you would be aware that the first 15 years of our ministry was in high school evangelism all over Australia and beyond. A number of times in the 1990s, I was invited to a particular town in Queensland, and we would have a week of outreaches into the local high school, into the community, hosted by this particular church. Now, as I look back on all of those opportunities of ministry, I can look back with fondness, but I can also wrongly look back with a self-focus and say, you know what? All of that was a part of God's big picture for our life. That we will go to a town and we will minister to the people and we will share the gospel in high schools and we'll put on concert events and we'll see people saved. Praise God, we did. We'll bless the local church. We'll even have the opportunity to talk about our association with Compassion and see children sponsored. And we can celebrate those things and we can say, well, that's the big picture of God for our lives. But God says, no. It's good, but you're not, go back to the next slide, you're not this, you're not the completed puzzle piece. You are this being fulfilled in the context of the next photo. Am I making sense this morning? God has a bigger picture and all the pieces begin to fit together. And you and I are this, a part of a bigger puzzle. And so I can look back on those times in the 90s. I can remember this church that we had a great association with on a number of occasions and celebrate the things that God did and go, that was great. That's the big picture. God says, no, there's a greater picture at work. And 20 years later, I get a random message from the pastor of that church letting me know that in the mid-1990s, when I spoke about Compassion in his church, his wife and his family sponsored their first child, their Compassion child, in Thailand. And God ignited something in their heart for mission, but ignited something particularly in their heart for Thailand. And so they visited their child there on a number of occasions, and other people from their church came and they sponsored children in the same project. And over the last couple of decades, that church has connected with that project, and it's now become a project that they are solely responsible for, and they have teams going there every other year. But not only that, this pastor said to me, I wanted you to know, because it started in the mid-90s when you visited our church and we sponsored a child in Thailand, but after 25 years, he's now resigning his position and he and his wife are going to be missionaries in Thailand working for Destiny Rescue. And so we see how all of these pieces begin to make sense. And when you take your part in God's bigger picture, the pieces around you are influenced by the part that you play, and their part in the puzzle makes sense because you're doing your part in the puzzle. Does that make sense this morning? Friends, God's big picture was not of us doing an outreach in a town years ago that I had long forgotten about. God's picture was using us to ignite something in the heart of somebody else that 20 years later would be woven into the bigger picture of what God is doing. Friends, can I encourage you this morning? You will never, ever, ever know the impact that your faithfulness, the impact that your words, the impact that your witness, the impact that your service has on another human being. And can I encourage those in the context of what we've shared this morning, those who have come for the last 2 years to serve this school community every lunchtime, God bless you. You will never know the impact that that is having in the lives of this school, in the lives of these students. You are making an eternal impact. God bless you for that. Friends, in God, we do not live lives in isolation. We're part of a much bigger picture, and that's why we've got to plug in to what God is doing in and through the local church. Because there's always a bigger picture at work. It's not about you, it's about Him. And again, the key to discovering your purpose is understanding that God didn't create you so that you would have something to do. God created you because He has something to do of which you and I have the privilege of being a part. And if we can grab a hold of that perspective, it totally shifts the focus and the perspective on what we are doing. And suddenly you find that even the most simple acts of service serve a greater purpose than I will probably ever realize. And friends, we got to get out of the annoying habit of constantly questioning God. We're not told to question Him, we're told to trust Him. Because the reality is, you and I will never ever have all the answers. We will never fully understand what God is doing, and we will never fully understand why God has us do the things that He has us do. That's why the Christian life is one of faith, one of trust, and one of obedience. And we'll be unpacking that a little bit in future parts of this series. I'm going to invite the team to come back. The Apostle Paul writes these words in Romans 12 and 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And friends, that's a really interesting passage, and it tells us unquestionably that God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. But it also says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And the pattern of this world, unfortunately, is very me-centric. Totally self-focused, totally self-absorbed. What's in it for me? What about me? How does this affect me? What are the benefits for me? And that's often the way we view God's will for my life, expecting it to be this big completed masterpiece that we step back and celebrate and feel really good about ourselves because it's so clearly defined. But it's not how God works. Paul says, get rid of that worldly perspective. It's not about you. Focus on what God is doing instead of what you were doing. And then what you will discover is that what God is doing, His will, is good, pleasing, and perfect. It may not always, every moment of the day, be good, pleasing, and perfect for you, but it's good and pleasing and perfect to God. And that's what's important. And I've got to tell you, when we speak from experience, there are times that what God tells you to do and how God leads you will be a little bit uncomfortable, will be a little bit uncertain. It may require great sacrifice. It may require you to step out and stretch out beyond your comfort zone. But that is the place where faith becomes faith. That's the place where God kicks in and says, I'm so glad that you trusted me and you stepped out into obedience, not even knowing what you were stepping into. But I've got a good, pleasing, and perfect plan, and I want you to be a part of it. And friends, when we understand that and recognize that and reach out in faith When that is our perspective, that's when life takes on a whole new meaning. That's when we suddenly see ourselves as being a significant part of what God is doing. So the first question we need to ask is not what is God's will for my life? The first question we need to ask is, what is God's will? What's the big picture of what God is doing in the world? And as we get to know God and as we come to understand God, as we draw close to God, we understand, first of all, God knows me in a way that I never really appreciated or understood before. But also that God has a tremendous purpose in this world, and He has actually uniquely wired me and created me to be a part of that bigger purpose. Make sense? Let's pray.